As they said, you might have something else that you don't want them to see.
Like what?
Pictures of people, other stuff.
Okay, thank you. Search warrant or any probable cause to check to see if you have drugs or weapons or something. How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about it? I think, well, if they have just reason to do so, yeah, I think it's all right.
Well, what they can do now is screen you even if they don't necessarily suspect, like, say, search every kid who walks.
No, I don't think that's right. They shouldn't do that because that's unconstitutional. You have a right to, you know, that's not right. I don't feel it's right.
Okay. How about you? Do you have a reaction? Say that again, I'm sorry.
I don't want them searching me.
Why not?
Why not? I may have something that I don't want them to look at, you know. I may have some bad grades or something, you know. You never know. Just let them try searching me.
And you,
I feel the same way he does, you know, like they had no permission, you know, no right to go in our lockers, you know, or classroom or whatever, trying to find something because, you know, it's none of their business, really.
Okay, now the Supreme Court says they can. Are you surprised?
Well, not really, but it's still wrong, though. They shouldn't do that.
This is a trap, isn't it? To get us kids here and then ask us about how.
What do you think about that?
I think that they shouldn't do that because that's an invasion of privacy.
Okay. What do you think of that?
That's not fair. If they can't come in my lock if they don't have no search warrant, and in the first place, I won't have nothing for them to search for.
But if they wanted to search now, the Supreme Court says they can, even if they don't really have any reason to think that you have anything.
I let them search.
You are in school?
Yeah.
Already. What school do you go to?
William H. Brown.
And that's a Chicago public school?
Yes.
How do you feel about that when they come through searching?
I don't like it.
Why not?
Because it's unfair. They don't have no reason to search my locker. I don't have enough for them to search for.
What is your name?
Teresa Williams.
Okay, thank you. What do you think about that?
What I think about is drugs is dangerous.
What do you think about the teacher searching you for them?
I don't know.
You don't mind if they search you or your locker looking for drugs?
Yeah, I don't mind. I mind, but I ain't gonna never have drugs on me.
Okay, thank you. Lockers for drugs or weapons or whatever without having any probable cause. Just search everyone in school. What do you think of that?
I think that's very unfair because our lockers and our personal things are our own domain. If they, just because of suspicion, they can't search our own belongings because on a whim they might feel that they can. I think that that's definitely not going, you know, it's taking into our rights. I think that they should definitely ask us maybe, but they just can't go into us because we don't go into the teacher's things without a probable cause or search warrant.
Okay, thank you. I wonder how you feel about that.
I don't know, I mean, I don't think they should be able to search through your lockers, but because you might have something in there that you, that's personal. But I don't have any drugs, so I don't really care.
Okay, thank you.
No matter how far you fight. These are all line out. Yeah.
To be willing, like Martin, to be willing to die, so that honor and justice might live. And I know if we'll only be true to this glorious quest of free South Africa, that Martin's heart will lie peaceful and calm, though he's laid to his rest. And the world in Soweto and in Sharpeville and in Chicago and in Detroit, the world will be better for this. That one man, scorned and covered with scars, still tried with his last ounce of courage to dream the impossible dream of brotherhood, to fight the unbeatable foe, racism, to reach the
Father, you've been so good to us, and we want to be what you would have us to be. As we honor Martin Luther King Jr., let us honor him by doing our best in everything we do. Let us honor Martin Luther King Jr. not just on one day of a year, but let us honor him every day of our lives. And Lord, as we go and prepare for this program, we know Dr. King is very close to you right now. And we'd ask that you would whisper in his ear from the words of these young people, happy birthday from the people of Chicago. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. How are you? Yes. And I must say that this is one of the most perceptive audiences I've ever seen. And the reason I know so is that you responded very quickly to two statements. One, when Oprah said that I was the best mayor in the world, you responded immediately, which meant that you're on the case. And two, when she said this is the best city in the world, you responded just as quickly, which means you stay on the case. This is a rap session for youth in celebration or in commemoration of the anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. It's going to be an annual thing, and the rap session will probably be the centerpiece of the whole entire day. Because if you summarize the life and work of Dr. King, and I'll do so in a very few words that's welcoming to you, it was really a statement to youth. It was a statement to the future. It was an attempt to say to people that you can live in a better world, you can be a difference in that world, and you have to look toward the future. So when you think of future, you think of youth, and Dr. Martin Luther King was a personification of youth. As a matter of fact, you might say he was the fountain of youth. And so we're dedicating this rap session to you. You're going to have some extremely interesting individuals out on those chairs. I'll be among them. They're going to be very receptive to what questions you raise. We'll try our best to respond to them. We'll probably flunk, but we'll do the best we can. So I want to take my seat, let Oprah get back, introduce your illustrious guest today, and it's dedicated to the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King, and even more so to the fine works that he did, to those standards of excellence and morality that he stood for, and in recognition of a truly wonderful and great and powerful people from which he sprang. So have a good time, and thank you very much.
Anyone. Center stool, Mayor. I want to introduce you now to, isn't he great? I love the mayor. He's so cuddly. I want to introduce you now to one of those Bear boys. He's a wide receiver for the Chicago Bears from Miami, Dennis McKinnon! Now, you may not know the name Charles Hayde, but you may know Ranko. Ranko! Charles Hayde from Hill Street. And
thank you very much. Thank you all very much. I am indeed pleasured by being here. I'm pleasured to be with all of you who have made it possible for me to be where I am today. I'm very aware of Chicago. I'm aware of Chicago because even before I was known to the world as Little Stevie Wonder, I spent time here because of having a lot of family here. Here and also in East Chicago, Indiana. I'm aware of Chicago because I have also throughout the years come to perform. And I'm aware of Chicago because I have heard the different things that have been happening here. The fact knowing about Operation Push, knowing about the election, the electing of a mayor, who was a very, very positive step toward true unity in your city. I'm also aware of Chicago in that I know of the racial disharmony that does unfortunately exist here. And that isn't to say that this is a great city. I do feel that. And that isn't to say that Detroit isn't a great city, because I feel it is also. But many of the big cities of this country, and some of the great people of this country and of the world who might be considered great can be even greater. So today, I hope that not only you take sight of us because of who we are, but that you really do understand that we, as human beings, who you all gave a position in this world, care very much about what happens to you, because we truly must be one for the world to be united. Thank you.
To do, I'd like for you all, because we're here to celebrate Dr. King's birthday, I'd like for somebody here to tell me in what way the dreams of Dr. King fulfilled. Where are you from?
My name is Raymond Richards.
Raymond, all the cameras are that way, so fire you up.
My name is Raymond Richards. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I'm in the citywide employment program in Illinois.
And you wanted to say?
I wanted to say something about Dr. King.
Go ahead, please.
Dr. King.
Raymond is filled up here this morning. Yeah.
Dr. King, in my own opinion, he done so much for the world. He does so much for everybody. He got me to Washington where he is today.
Right.
He got Stevie where he is today.
Esther Roll.
Esther Rose.
Roll.
Roll. He got all us here. Let's celebrate for Dr. Martin Luther King!
I'd just like to say, if it wasn't for Dr. King today, maybe Michael Jordan or somebody, Martin Luther King, Harold Washington wouldn't be famous. I probably wouldn't be here. They might have, Michael Jordan wouldn't be here. And now we have a black man.
Yes.
I'd like to ask.
Quiet so we can hear everybody, if you don't mind, yes?
I'd like to ask Mary Washington a question. I know when Dr. King was alive, you were, what, about the same age as him, maybe?
No, I'm about, he would have been 56 today. I am 62.
Oh. The mayor is telling his age.
Well, I carried well.
I would like to address this question to all of the, what did he mean to you?
Hey, older people, we'll start with you, Rank Charles.
Hi. When Dr. King was doing his work down in the South in the 1960s, I was just getting out of the service. I was 20 years old. And I had been over in Thailand, where they were starting the war that turned into the war in Southeast Asia. And one morning I woke up and I read in the newspaper that someone in the South had bombed a church and killed four children in Birmingham, Alabama. And I don't know what took hold of me, but it was probably the spirit of Dr. King, because I'd been reading his writings and hearing his speeches. And the first experience I ever had in show business was producing a benefit for the Artist Civil Rights Assistance Fund, which raised money to rebuild that church in Birmingham. So I went on to produce Godspell, and I'm an actor now, but I think the first thing that I ever did that had to do with what I do with my life came from the inspiration of the work of Dr. King and those brave people back in the 1960s in the Deep South. So that's why I'm here today. Let me say one other thing, because there's so many other people to talk here. I asked why they invited me to be here today. It seemed like an unusual choice.
Because what is wrong with this picture?
I said, well, there's other guys on the show. And they said, because we polled the kids in Chicago and they wanted to meet Renko. And it is very gratifying to me as an actor and as a communicator, because if you understand what I am doing with the character of Andy Renko, what kind of a statement I am trying to make about that kind of human being, then you are very smart and way ahead of the game. Because most adults don't understand it, but you do, and God bless you for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Esther, what impact did Dr. King have on your life?
That's a toughie for me. It was Dr. King, my father, all the other wonderful people that I admired through my life. Dr. King was perhaps the subtotal of that experience. It is one that I had grown up with all my life, and I was able to find identity in what he was saying and what he was doing. The most outstanding thing for me and for you, the young people here, is not only that we remember Dr. King and what he did, but if you truly believe in what he did, if you truly believe in what Mayor Washington is about, the only way you can serve him and serve Dr. King's memory is through good support of what he is doing. Don't make him look bad. He's the mayor of this city, and it's up to you to keep this city clean. Don't holler loud and do nothing. I want you to remember that where Mayor Washington goes is up to you. If you keep an ugly city, he can't look good. We want him to look good. The only way we can make him look good is to put our shoulders to the wheel that turns him. And if you support him as you should, you will always have that identity that the mayor of my city knows me and is concerned about me. But you've got to show some concern. Don't leave it all up to him. Let's get together, hold hands, talk with each other. Gang fighting does not help anything. It proves nothing. But any good work that you do is positive proof of who you are and what you think about the legacy left to you by Dr. King. You know, Dr. King has done something that no other United States citizen has been able to do. We had a constitution that said several things. You had found Washington is worthy of the office he holds.
Thank you, Esther.
I've always felt that idle time is the devil's workshop.
Amen, Stevie.
And I've also felt that a lot of what we see and what we imagine, but what we don't do, assists in sometimes the same negative. There are many things that can be talked about as being solutions. But I think the first thing that will lead to the beginning of a solution is for everyone to begin to like themselves a little more. I have a nephew who is 13 years old, and recently, about 2 or 3 months ago, he came out to Los Angeles to visit us from Detroit. And he said to me, in confidence, but later we discussed it with the rest of the family and were able to work on the situation. He said, I don't like myself. He said, I wish that I could die. I wish that I were never born. And he felt that way greatly because he felt he had no purpose. He had no opportunity. He had no images that he felt he could look up to. He did not have a job or even a thought of it. I had to explain to him how at one time in my life, I too felt somewhere in my mind that I didn't have a purpose. And I was told by many people when I was younger that the only thing I could do, being blind, was to either finish school, or I would end up making potholders and being a bum. But there was something in my heart, and there were words that I heard from people such as Dr. Martin Luther King, even though at the age of 6 and 7, I didn't know his name. I knew there was a man who was in the South who was helping people who were deprived because of the color of their skin. And I knew that what he was talking about didn't speak of violence and destruction, but spoke of unity. And from the moment that I heard that, I knew in my heart that I felt the same way as that man. And I wanted to, in my way, in song, inspire people and talk about the various problems that we all have, but write songs that would encourage them to maybe see life in a better light.
Do you think, Stevie, that because you do not physically see, that you see life in a better way than those of us who do, that you are in some ways better off than those of us who do?
I don't think it really matters. I think that for sure, a blind person can be prejudiced as well as a sighted person. It is not really whether you're sightless or can see. It's whether or not you can really see in your heart the right thing.
We have a question here. You have, what do you want to say, young man?
I wanted to ask Stevie Wonder, how old is he?
I'm 34, going on 17.
Okay, thank you, darling, for your question. You have a question? What's your question, though?
I want...
You have to speak up real loud, okay? Speak up, come on.
I want to say, if you're watching, This is a great city, great country. You have great people.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. That was very nice. Very nice. You wanted to say what? I'm going to bring you all up on. You want to say?
I want to tell Harold Washington that I love him and I wish that he was the mayor when I grew up.
Oh, for that, you get, listen, girlfriend, for that, you get a kiss. You can march right up there and get a kiss. Just for that. I know how to play that. Thank you, darling. I wanted to ask what. Hi, sweetheart. Okay, this is a hearing impaired student, and she wanted to ask. Mayor Washington.
That's the $64 question, and the best one that's come out of any group has come out of this or this meeting here today and been alluded to by quite a few of the speakers. It is one of the most pressing questions which confront the city. Rather than going to all the things that I plan to do, and there are quite a few of those, let me say this. I think it's pretty clear that if the gang problem as we know it, now we're talking about criminal activity on the part of young men primarily and some young women. If that problem is to be resolved, it has to be resolved through the cooperation, as Esther Raleigh said, of all of us. You, the young people who many times are the victims of these gangs, have to cooperate with your parents, with your teachers, with the police, and with other groups within the city which are designed and put together to provide your protection. You've got to let us know the things that are happening so that we can assist you in preventing them. We, on the other hand, have a responsibility of not just making certain that that kind of conduct ceases, but we have the responsibility in addition to try to prevent it in the future, which means we have to provide a city which provides for your needs, such as leisure time activity, such as adequate schools, more adequate than we have, such as job training and offering better opportunities for employment. We have to do that. So it's a two-pronged thing. Government must do what you put it in office to do, and that is to provide for a better life for you. But on the other hand, government can just be so successful that it must have cooperation of people. I think cooperation of young people is most important. I was at PUSH this morning for a brief period of time, and two young men spoke, one from Simeon High School, and both said the same thing. They weren't talking to me, they were talking to the adults in the city. They said very simply this. They said something that all youth have said since time immemorial. If you old folks can't clean it up, we'll have to clean it up. That's what they said. And I'd like to think that that's the feeling here today. So the old folks are gonna be about the business of trying to clean it up. We can't do so without you young people here today. And I appreciate the question because even though the answer could go on and on and on,
is anybody here?
The thing is the question.
The solution is.
I think we need more programs and more outreach for the kids. Well, far beyond just some kind of a tactic that would just focus on them as the bad part of the city, but look upon them as the youth of our community and the future of our city and the future of our country.
So what finally made you get out of it? I mean, to be an ex-member means you're not doing it anymore. So what made you change your way of life?
I just came to light, just like Stevie did. You know, I'd seen the bad and seen the good and decided that it was time to do something good and try to save these kids' lives because I myself was a victim of a gang shooting.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Where is time? Basically,
okay, your mic's out. Hold on.
Give me that.
At this time, I'm just trying to achieve something.
Might be members of gangs or leaders. And this question doesn't just come from me.
But as you know, being in the entertaining field, being an artist, traveling all over the world, I'm asked constantly different parts of the world, by blacks in Africa, a very, very serious serious question and a very difficult one to answer. And I'm always confronted, and I'm defending something that I don't exactly even understand myself. Phoebe, my brother, how is it that you have young people in cities like Detroit, in Chicago, or New York, and Los Angeles, that go in their own communities and shoot and kill one another? How do they do that? So my question to any one of you that would like to answer, I want to know how, why, and most importantly is, can we talk to clear this problem up?
Who has an answer? You have an answer? All right, will you come down here this way, okay? Because you're a big man.
And I want to also say, I don't want any of any of you to feel inhibited because of the press, television, and if in fact Dr. King's birthday, and what could be a better way of clearing up some of these problems and beginning to talk about solutions?
So that's why I want you to talk. Come up here, sir, please, if you don't mind.
Greetings. My name is Brother Kublai Khan Mohammed Touré, Brother Stevie, the Honorable Mayor, and distinguished guests. The question that you asked, like the mayor stated before, is a $64 million question. There is no solution to the problem, but there is a way to put a dent in the problem.
How is that?
The first dent is to learn how to respect yourself so that you can respect others. The elders, I'm talking about the male, have to set a goal and an image that is positive to the youth who come from broken homes, who don't have no male image in the home. The average mother in the black community is the mother and the father of the child.
I'll turn you around here. Let me turn you around.
So my suggestion is that being part of this ex-product of the gangs coming up from the 60s.
You were an ex-gang member too.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I found out when I was coming up because I had a positive male image. And Mr. Malcolm X was that image for me. My father was the image for me. Even though I come from a broken home, my father taught me the responsibility of taking care of your own, okay? Fortunately, him and my mother couldn't get along, so that was a personal thing.
Okay.
But he didn't neglect his responsibility.
Okay.
And it's the same way Martin Luther King solved the problem of prejudice in the South. And that's through God, through prayer. We have lacked the religious people of this city of Chicago need to take a stand. We are a divided people right now. And until the religious people come together and we go to our knees like we did in the 60s, which I wasn't a part of, but I saw the effects because I'm here today. Education is open to us and God has blessed. But we must fall to our knees once again.
Let me say this. You were an ex-gang member, so at some point down there, you weren't on your knees. See, wait. So you weren't on your knees. So how do you tell the guys who are carrying the guns and intimidating old folks and shooting up people, how do you tell them to get down on their knees? Because you wouldn't have listened if somebody told you.
Well, this is how it happened. They don't have to get on their knees. If enough praying people are praying, God will knock them on their knees. And not only that, I took Ben Wilson. For example, I was at his wake and I took petitions because I gathered some young men together and we said we were gonna march in commemoration because this killing has got to stop. Somebody said, don't you go out there, the gangs are gonna kill you. They're gonna kill me if I don't go out there. All right.
Yeah, go ahead. Paul. Okay, I think it's working, Paul.
All right, I'd like to clear this question up for Stevie Wonder too. I'm an ex-gang member.
I'm an Olympic gold medalist too. But like Martin Luther King said, that it all started off with a dream. He had a dream that one day we'll all be brothers and sisters. Today that has happened. I also like to say I started off with a dream of being an Olympic gold medalist. I was also involved in gangs. I got shot at age of 12 in the back of the head by shotgun pellets. I got shot in the knee and I got sliced by my heart. So I'm a veteran of gang warfare. And as for Stevie Wonder, the question that he rendered, how can people do this? Basically, it's caused of territorial rights. People stepping into someone else's territory. Yes, for the man who said coming from a broken home, my mother raised me and 8 other kids alone. My father walked out the door. If my mother wanted to, she could have walked out too, but she didn't.
Yeah.
I just wanted to tell Harold Washington that he's a great man. And
hurt other people or hurt themselves in the long run. There are no jobs out here for young people.
So you think that's the reason people are hurting each other? Because
I don't think that that's the reason, but I believe with more jobs, it'll be less trouble,
right?
Less problems for people.
You understand?
First of all, I like to, yes.
Because all these media people love to get you on the television, see?
First of all, I like to give honor and respect to Dr. Martin Luther King and to God. Then I'd like to thank all the panelists and the people that participated in such a great event. And I want to make a realistic statement, and that is the word gang is by design. They are misled young adults. Stop using the word gang because that was designed to implement it inside of you so you can always consider yourself a gang. We're not gangs. There's no such thing as gangs. The only way that you can solve things that you call gang banging is through what Stevie said is self-love, but he mentioned a word called idle. The reason we're so idle is because we don't have recreation centers. We don't have things that we can participate in. How can you do anything else besides gang banging? We have to be realistic. I don't care who speak and who say what, but the root of the problem is the gang is right now attacking our brother in the city hall. That's the game. That's the game. Deal with that game first and show an example to the children. But if the Vodoliak and his 29 is fighting our brother, how the hell can you expect some young children to do well?
Thanks. You want to say what, Mom?
I would like to direct this to Mr. Honorable Harold Washington. If the Vodoliak 29 are so much, they want to unify with the black people and they want to get together and make the city better, why aren't they here now trying to celebrate Dr. King's birthday?
Hi. I think I can speak to that. You know, we're talking about the gangs again and why people aren't celebrating Dr. King's birthday. It's why I think you're referring to, who are you referring to when you said that? Let's get that real straight. All right, okay. You see, that is a politician's answer more than a human answer. I suppose on one level they're afraid of unity. Anytime anybody gets together, any group of people get together, they create a certain kind of fear in another group of people, which really shouldn't be. I want to talk about the gang problem too, because I was in an Irish gang called the Mission Hilltoppers in San Francisco. And don't get mad at me because I said San Francisco. We didn't mean it. Anyway, all I know about being a gang member is that you surrender all of your God-given individuality to a whole, and the whole in this case is nothing but a group of people who are perpetrating violence on other people. You're giving up, you're really giving up the very thing that you are, your God-given soul, to a group of people. You become nothing, you feel badly about yourself, you lose your dignity, you haven't got anything if you're a member of a gang. So the person, the smart person, the individual, the one who wants to make it in this life, will walk away from a situation like that with his head held high and just say no. And if everybody were able to do it, then there wouldn't be any gang because everybody would be separate individual and yet together doing things good. Good things. Because these gangs can do good things if they turn it all around. They really could. It doesn't take a lot of guts to join up a group of a gang, really.
Okay, I'm telling you, I've been told, thank you very much, Charles, I've been told, and now everybody...
I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do.
Give it to him, Steve.
I'm going to make a proposal that is going to need a little work, so for those of you in the press and media that are recording and filming, this is not the ultimate statement that I'm making about this, but it will be something like this, as we will update you with information so that when we make the announcement as a whole, it will be so. At this point, I'm only speaking solely for myself and for those others who would like to participate in whenever they decide to do so, they may. I do believe that those of you, those that are considered members of gangs, or those who are gang leaders, or those who are, and this is happening in Detroit, it's happening, I understand, in Chicago, it's beginning to happen in Los Angeles. There's another form of destruction that is happening that no one has talked about yet, that is very, very real, that is putting many, many people asleep and assisting and causing the destruction and deterioration of the human being, and that is drugs. And from my understanding, in Los Angeles and in Detroit, and here, many of the gang members are given these drugs to sell. Because of the selling of these drugs, some of the young people are making money and are therefore able to get things that maybe they were never able to be given before or to get before. What I'm proposing is this, that someone here who wants to really be in the gang of unity, in the gang of helping us to move together, yes, as a black culture, but as a united culture of all people. And if you really want to really be something, starting here, just you in this city, forming a group of people who will work on preventing the crime or helping as best you can to encourage against it and helping to clean up this problem. I would like to, at some point in your city, with the assistance of those who want to participate, put on a concert and give percentage of the proceeds to those people who have formed that organization, and that it is clear to me that it has actually happened. Give them the money for that. And to present them with one of my albums that reached platinum, which was Songs in the Key of Life. They would have to form their own name, and we'd have to really work on this. It's not organized, it's just a thought in my mind. But I believe that if we come together on a serious note, put something together, we can do something that will encourage everyone to know without question that with having the right kind of things to do in that idle time, they're truly living
and those principles of Dr. King. That's what I want to do.
Thank you, Stevie Wonder. And thank you to all of our panelists. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, as our panelists leave, I want to introduce to you the Jesse White Tumblers, who've been waiting. Thank you all, though. Let's have a big round of applause.
Change your joy and laughter to tears and pain. It's that love in need of love today.
Love today. Love's in need of love today.
I wonder, can I get all the men to sing this?
Love's in need of love today.
Say,
love's in need of love today.
Sing it.
Love's in need of love today.
Say it loud, fellas. Don't be ashamed to say it.
Love's in need of love today.
Say it louder, fellas, I can't hear you.
Love.
Clap your hands and say it.
Of love today.
Say love.
Say it louder, fellas. Of love today.
Say it louder.
Love's in need.
Say it.
Of love.
Now listen, I want the ladies to sing this. I want the ladies to sing.
Love's in need of love today. Love's in need of love today. Love's in need of love today. Love's in need of love today.
Say it. Fellas.
Love's in need of love today. Love's in need of love today.
Clap your hands and say it.
No New Year's Day to celebrate. No chocolate cup and candy hearts to give away. No first of spring, no song to sing.
Just call.
for a real treat now. Let's hear it again for Stevie. Isn't he just a wonderful spirit?
Become nothing, you feel badly about yourself, you lose your dignity, you haven't got anything if you're a member of a gang. So the person, the smart person, the individual, the one who wants to make it in this life, will walk away from a situation like that with his head held high and just say no.
Yes. I wanted to, in my way, in song, inspire people and talk about the various problems that we all have, but write songs that would encourage them to maybe see life in a better light. Let's celebrate for Dr. Martin Luther King!
I have heard about the electing of a mayor who is, I feel, a very, very positive step toward true unity in your city.
Where Mayor Washington goes is up to you. If you keep an ugly city, he can't look good.